Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USD has hired Lincoln Riley. Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Random Troy Radio. We are reacting to the big news. The big, 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 big news. USC. The Trojans. The USC Trojans. In Los Angeles. Based in Los Angeles. Along with their rivals, the UCLA Bruins, also based in Los Angeles, University of California at Los Angeles, are joining the big conference, the B1G, the Big Ten. We're going to talk about it here on this episode. I'm your host, Mike Castillo, joining along with my co-host, Alicia Deratola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, SC is joining the Big Ten. What the hell is that?
It's a thing. It's a development. It's realignment. It's coast-to-coast Big Ten action.
I have so many thoughts, and we're gonna leave this to calling this a basically a CarCast episode about this, in that we're not gonna put together a rundown and all that stuff. We're gonna just keep this real and give you our reaction to the news, which is the reports that came out on Thursday morning from John Wilner, and it's gone from everywhere else, Pete Thamel and Bruce Feldman, and so many things have developed on throughout the day, but SC and UCLA going to the Big Ten as early as 2024. Yeah. Okay, besides wow, give me your thoughts. Talk it out. First inclination.
Besides wow, what? Which was my first all caps text that I sent when it all went down, which is funny because there was you. I don't know if you saw like the lead up to it, but I was at the park with our new dog, and I get some texts from people going like something's happening because Wilner is tweeting about something like big happening, and Cowherd is tweeting an emoji that's cryptic, and Matt Leinart deleted a tweet that said just like wild dot dot dot, and it was like, well, what's happening? Like what could possibly be going down? And then Wilner drops the bomb like, USC and UCLA are going to the Big Ten. And it was just
big
like,
Ten,
oh,
get that right.
Big Ten. Big football.
B1G.
B1G. As I said, USC is going to join the B1G really West division. But it was just, again, one of those what kind of things. I almost, if you had told me that USC would be going independent, I almost would have believed it as much as I did the idea of USC going to the Big Ten. once that first moment of, wait, what? Like, for real? This is a real John Wilner account? Like, we aren't all getting duped by some, you know, rando with a convincing fake account. It was, my reaction was very much like, well, duh. I mean, like, this makes complete and utter sense for USC from a financial perspective. It makes even more, like, UCLA just won the jackpot because they're getting taken along for this in a way that's going to benefit them extremely well. But from USC's perspective, it's just, it's almost like a no-brainer. I'm almost shocked because I saw somebody tweet, and I wish I had the tweet in front of me, but somebody was tweeting that USC, oh, Adam Rittenberg said that the interest came from USC and UCLA. Like, the Big Ten wasn't seeking new members actively, but USC and UCLA came to them and said, hey, can we do this? And like, that to me is like big boy moves by USC and UCLA. Like, that's Mike Bone and Martin Jarmond basically just sitting up and saying, like, we don't trust the Pac-12 to get a big media rights deal. We're walking. And that is not the kind of move that I would have expected from USC in previous regimes. That is very much a big boy modern USC move. And I'm torn about it for sure. I think you and I are both torn about it. It's college football is beautiful in part because of its regionalism, and basically regionalism is dying, and it doesn't feel right to talk about USC and not have the Pac-12 be, or the Pacific Conference in whatever numeral you give to it, to have that be the reality of what it is. So I'm torn. That was my perspective on it.
It
makes
weird,
sense,
man.
But also like
it is weird. I told you off air that this is like finding out your parents are being.
Sorry, I just wanted to interject really quickly. Pete Thamel says it's a done deal. It's been accepted, 2024.
Okay.
So.
2024. So it's 2 years.
2 years. Yeah.
So
which we sort of are when as soon as we got on this podcast, we sort of knew that this was happening, yeah. But. This is the official word.
You know, it doesn't leak. It doesn't come out if it's not far along enough.
Yeah.
If it was truly not serious, it would have leaked in other sort of terms.
Yes.
Of like, hey, SC is considering this, or the big, there's talks or whatever.
Yeah.
But
there's
like,
murmurings.
But the way the report came out, it was too solid sounding not to, you know, be legitimate of some sort. But no, I look at this like I told you off air. This is like finding out your parents are getting a divorce, but you're also moving to Hawaii, and you got accepted into something that you're super into at the same time. You know what I mean? Like
you got like a. Like you're an actor or something, and like you're like a child actor, and you just got a huge acting gig in Hawaii that you're gonna move to Hawaii with your mom, but your parents are splitting up. But like you're also going to Hawaii, and like you're gonna live out your dream of like being a star, like
right, like so.
And also like your parents were having trouble, and like you understood that their relationship was a little bit toxic, so like. You're very, very sad to see them the marriage collapse, but on some other level, you understand that like it wasn't a sustainable situation because their relationship wasn't healthy. Are we taking this way?
A little bit too much. It's one of those things that I understand literally every side of the coin here, right? All of it. It's also weird having strong opinions about Oklahoma and Texas moving to the SEC. I thought that was really stupid at the time. And yet here's SC doing what I think on paper, you could, following the logic that I had for those two schools, is even worse. Because one of the things that we talked about with Lincoln Riley was him coming to USC was going to give him an opportunity to be able to be the top dog in a conference where he could run at full speed. He could run at full speed in the Big 12, but he could run at full speed in the Pac-12, be the top dog, not only in the West and get all the top recruits in the West, but in the Pac-12 and dominate the Pac-12 like Pete Carroll did. And the Pac-12 doesn't have to be elite. If you are the elite team and you know, there's an easier path to the playoff and all that stuff, and you get in the playoff, and if you do that with top players from the West, you can be the elite team that still wins, despite just being a perennial playoff loser like Oklahoma and Notre Dame have been, for instance, that this was going to be the difference, all that stuff. We had talked about those things. And now that's no longer going to be the case if you're going to go to the Big 12 and everyone else is going to be there.
Big 10.
Yes. So on one side, I'm like, it's awesome. SC is making the move for them to get the most money and to go after all these things. And this is the changing landscape of college football. At the same time, will this lead to SC's path to winning championships easier? I don't think so. I don't think that's the case. How?
If you're getting $100 million a year from the Big Ten,
and if everyone else is winning the $100 million a year too?
Yeah, but if you were only getting $40 million a year from the Pac-12, you're $60 million behind the Ohio State. Yes, but also
now the thing is completely neutral. Like now
you're neutral with the Ohio States of the world, where you would have been negative with the Ohio States of the world. Just in terms of well, again, we're not talking. I agree with you in the sense of you want to be the big dog in your own conference and get playoff access. But let's be real here. Playoff access is not what USC aspires to. Winning playoffs is what USC aspires 100%, 100%. To. And you need that $100 million to do that.
For me, this is about the duality of two things. For one, we grew up knowing that college football was this thing that we knew. It was full of regional conferences. Nebraska was good, and they were in the Midwest and the Big 12. See, now can't get them straight.
It's an epidemic.
I know. And so you the way you get into a sport at the moment that it's at and the landscape that it's at, that's how you expect it to be forever. So for me, I want college football to forever be how it was in the 90s and the early 2000s, because that's when I fell in love with the sport. That's Nebraska being good, all the conferences, all the Rose Bowl mattering, all these things. That's what we love about college football. And so it's sad and depressing. It feels like your parents divorcing because we're told that SC's not in the Pac-12 anymore. And that what we the fundamental thing that we know about USC football, about the weekender, gone, done, over with. Aspiring, you know, in the last 10 years, aspiring to go to the Pac-12 championship. No longer a thing, right? Like, winning the conference to go to the Rose Bowl, I guess that still matters now in the Big Ten. But you know what I mean? Like, these things that we've taken for granted about being the fundamental landscape of college football is sort of extinct. And I just had the realization today that we grew up our lives hearing about NFL history contextualized by the merger, by the Super Bowl era. And in hockey, you hear about, the original six. Oh, this is the first time since the original six teams that are for expansion that this happened. Oh, this is they're the first team since the merger to be 10-0 through X amount of game, whatever it is, right? Like every stat is like has that little caveat to it. And it hit me today, like the college football we knew and loved is going to be that time before time started. 20, 30 years from now, we're going to talk about football as the playoff era, or we're going to talk about football as whatever. If by 2024, there's all super conferences, we're going to have another word for the merger. It's going to be the realignment or whatever it is. Right. And this sounds bizarre and it sounds weird to say, but like history will have stopped and started to re-record at that point. Because do people talk about the Browns championships in the 60s? No, we say the Browns have never won the Super Bowl, right? And so this feels like the start of a new era in which everything is on the same page and the same slate. And in this fantasy world, I'd love to fantasized for the last 20 years about what it would be like to have a league where it was only SC and UCLA and Michigan and Ohio State and Texas and OU and Penn State and, you know, Florida State, like all the big superpowers, all the big brands in one conference, because that would be cool. And it was like this cool utopian ideal. But then it some sort of becomes a reality and you're like, but I don't want to be a pirate. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, for me, it's very hard to, like, deal with the nostalgic angle of it and to deal with knowing that, like, in all seriousness, college football is going to, like, reset. And all this is completely resetting things. And yes, SC has advantages with recruiting because of the area, and they're going to have better advantages over other schools because of the recruits in California and all that stuff. But once you go into when you're the big fish in a pond of other huge fish, everyone's the same. And it sort of becomes like the NFL. And like, that's why I don't like the NFL. You know what I mean? Like the sameness for everything. And it, yes, it's going to be cool that SC is going to be in the super conference, and hopefully every team in the super conference is good and all that stuff. And that's the future of what we're evolving to. But also, like, it's going to be weird and it's going to be different. And we have to think about, like, sports evolve. And what was it like to be a sports fan in the 60s when you had to go with, like, the 50s and the 60s, like, suddenly integration happens, and then westward expansion happens, and then suddenly the NHL goes from having six teams to 12 overnight, and then there's the AFL, then they merge into the NFL to become the NFL again. Like, is this what life was back then when our parents were kids, and, like, this is just our version, and we have to just come to reality that, come to the, our senses that what we thought of as normal is just not going to be normal anymore, and just get over it and just take things as they go? Because that's the struggle that I have with this stuff.
Literally, yes.
And like I said, I'm not saying it's a bad move.
No, but that's...
Like, it's the logical move if like, that's where everything is going. And
it's not logical move, it's the inevitable move.
Yes,
it was inevitable.
Right.
And this is why, you know, the whole, like, being critical of Texas and Oklahoma, I think people were critical of Texas and Oklahoma because they were the dominoes that forced this to happen.
But
Texas and Oklahoma come together with the Pac-12, if the Big 12 and Pac-12 had gotten together and formed their own sort of thing, the alignment that we have wouldn't be the sort of two mega conference. We could have had a four mega conference sort of situation. But instead, Texas and Oklahoma went the SEC route. And then the only natural way to counter that was for the Big Ten to be the flag bearer for everything else.
Yeah, Texas and Oklahoma going in the current landscape, I think, is stupid. Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC and what the landscape is going to be in 5 years, presumably now that it's inevitable because SC and UCLA are going to the Big Ten, which is, you can only imagine there's going to be more of this, makes more sense. And maybe it was on me for being dim-witted and not just foreseeing that this was actually a reality. I just couldn't actually picture SC leaving the Pac-12.
No, it's
And the whole,
not...
like, independence talk, I thought, was always far-fetched anyways.
Well, yeah, because Notre Dame's... The independence thought was completely tagged to Notre Dame and BYU, and they are not going to be able to stay independent in this. You're going to get left behind, and Notre Dame's going to have to come to their senses eventually. But the fact of the matter is that it wasn't dumb of you or any of us to want the Pac-12 to continue on to be strong. It wasn't dumb for any of us to look at it and say we like the regional aspects of college football. None of that was dumb. It was the way that we liked things. But the world changes and we have to change along with it.
Right.
And I think that the thing that people need to be careful of is letting the nostalgia get in the way of them being able to enjoy a new thing for what it is. This is one of my frustrations with the Star Wars universe is, and there are a lot of people who went into the sort of new Star Wars content so buried in their nostalgia that they didn't give any new ideas or new thoughts or new concepts a chance. And understand that, like, it's okay for this thing to be kind of different. And it's okay for this thing to maybe not be for you, because these were always movies that were sort of corny adventure movies. And you were just a kid, so you didn't notice how freaking corny they were at the time. And like that they weren't perfect. And that change doesn't always mean that you're destroying something. And that's one of the sort of where I'm at with this is, do I want the Pac-12 to stay as it is? Yes. Do I want USC in the Pac-12 playing Oregon State going up to Corvallis, you know, every other year? Yes, I do want that. But I'm also a realist. I also understand that USC was not going to be able to entertain me by winning things and being good at football if they stayed tethered to a conference that wasn't going to rise to USC's level. In the end, college football moved towards this, is moving towards this, this inevitable mega conference thing. And USC for once is not sitting back and resting on its tradition and its laurels and accepting and, you know, being, making the assumption that they could survive on the Pac-12 revenue alone. The fact of the matter is that in college football these days, you need to get state of the art facilities every 10 years or you are behind the ball. So you need to start paying for your state of the art facilities every 10 years or you will be behind the eight ball. Like, this is the reality of the sport. The sport as we love it compared to the NFL is still quirky college football. Like, it's not like we lose. Right. Ohio State still exists in this. Notre Dame still exists in this. Like, USC will form new rivalries or keep old rivalries one way or the other.
We always said that in the list of SC's rivalries, one and two are UCLA and Notre Dame, flip a coin. Three and four are Stanford and Cal. But then five and six, we always argued it was Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. Ohio State, Michigan, you can, you know, whatever the power of the Big Ten was, that was always the sort of like national counterpoint to the Pac-12 power.
It was from all the historic Rose Bowls.
Yes, from all the historic Rose Bowls. So it's a natural fit in that sense. Is it a geographical fit? hell no. Logistically, how is this going to work?
Think of all the layovers we're going to have at O'Hare. It's going to be fun.
Well, and just think, like, I just was thinking about, like, for the athletes themselves, okay, every week of conference play is going to be an out-of-conference road trip, basically. Which, you know, you're the geography guy. You might tell me, is the trip from LA to, you know, Pullman, what's the difference between that and going to Iowa? I have no idea, but it's just, it's a situation where logistically for the student athletes, it's going to be difficult. For the fans, it's going to be difficult, but this is the modern game. They don't really. Right. The modern game doesn't really give a crap what makes life easier or more difficult for fans. So that's that. You know, I think that's something that we just have to, you know, fight your battles where you can win them. This is not the battle that you're going to win on layovers in O'Hare. But
yeah, I'm really excited but scared to see how this all ends up forming, because yeah, it's new, and things that are new are exciting, but they're also change is scary, like we talked about, yeah. Right? But one of the things that I wanted to get into was, what do we think happens from here? I don't see any sense in which the Big Ten stays at 16. They currently have 14 members. Adding SC and UCLA gives them 16. There's no way they stay at 16. They have to expand from that. My only assumption would be that they add four more and go to like 20. That has been one of the talks that we've seen out there, like rumors and speculation and whatnot. If it was you, who else would you join up in the Big Ten?
Well, this is the tricky part, right? Because if it was me, I would just do away with this little piecemeal realignment thing and just go big, go for broke, go to...
Would you redraw?
I would just redraw everything. I would just...
So you'd be like, sorry, Indiana, sorry, Northwestern, sorry, Illinois, but it's over.
Yeah, but we want Clemson and Florida State and we want Oregon and Washington and, you know, and sort of go like that. I don't think that's the way it's going to happen ultimately. But one thing that I wanted to point out is that, again, the Big Ten wasn't soliciting schools to join. And John Wilner tweeted regarding more expansion, Big Ten schools with the LAs will generate $100 million in annual media revenue. Any additions would have to be seen as revenue additive by Fox and the 16 members. Very high bar. So I think it's pretty clear that Notre Dame crosses that bar easily. If Notre Dame tomorrow said, hey, we want in, the Big Ten would welcome them in immediately. But I am a little bit skeptical about like an Oregon in terms of adding value to a Big Ten sort of market share. Does Oregon add value? I'm not. I mean, in terms of brand, sure. But in terms of like media space, I'm not so sure about that. So
I disagree. Like I think they add value because SC and UCLA gives them the LA market. First of all, they had the LA market anyways, but gives them the LA market, right? But SC could give them the LA market. UCLA would have given them the LA market. They got both in one. So it's a little bit redundant there. I think that if you're talking about adding markets, then wouldn't you absolutely want to go to areas that you weren't at? And like Oregon and Washington make a lot of sense. I think that
they make more sense.
You add the Pacific Northwest, Seattle and Portland, sure. But for me, I think this is clearly the spirit of the idea that the Big Ten wasn't looking for expansion, I think, is somewhat bullshit. I'm sorry. They might not have been looking to add SC and UCLA in this manner, but clearly there's always been rumors about, you know, them talking to Texas, and maybe that was for leverage, whatever. But like the Big Ten for the longest time has been one of the parties that people have talked about as the strongest and the most likely to transition to a super conference when we inevitably get there. And so this idea that, oh, this was like brand new to them, I'm not going to buy that thing. And if we're talking about what is the end game, what is the end game, what is college football going to look like in 10 years, Oregon and Washington belong in a super conference. They do. They are name brands. They belong in a super conference. SC and UCLA belong in that super conference. And I don't see how you don't add them. Obviously, Clemson and Florida State can belong somewhere. And I wonder if they end up going to the SEC. I wonder if the ACC decides that it's going to be three super conferences instead of two. Maybe that's the end game and the ACC ends up, you know, adding people so that maybe they go after Notre Dame now because to keep Clemson and Florida State there.
That would be the big win for them.
I think that sort of makes sense, but that just makes it more obvious that I think if you're the Big Ten, you add Oregon and Washington, and if you add anyone else, the other ones that make logical sense to me are the Arizonas. ASU's already in the Big Ten for hockey. I know that is not super relevant, but there's also this weird, like, kinetic energy vibe thing that Arizona has with the Midwest. You go to Phoenix and there's like a Big Ten bar and like every mile. It's everyone from the Midwest goes to Arizona to retire, and everyone from the East Coast goes to Florida to retire. And so it makes sense to me that they would have this relationship with Arizona. ASU being in the Big Ten already and having those relationships, I think, only helps their case, even if hockey obviously isn't going to be a priority.
I wonder if this takes like an SEC, another SEC edition. Like, because right now, the Big Ten and the SEC...
You mean to force it beyond SC and UCLA?
Well, they're both at 16 teams, with the SEC adding Texas and Oklahoma and the Big Ten adding USC and UCLA. They're both at 16 teams. So
you think we'll be in the have those middle years in which SC is competing in a Big Ten West where they're traveling thousands of miles every week? In other words, you think we'll go to a transition period before we get to the end phase?
Yeah, I think that somebody else will have to add, either the Big Ten will have to decide. I mean, if I'm Oregon and Washington, I am putting together the best deck that I can possibly make, and I am going to the Big Ten and I am saying, here's what we have to offer you. Make all of your arguments about the Pacific Northwest and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I go hard.
UW's the top 20 school in the country academically.
I go hard. I push the, we're not just football. We'll bring this, that, and the other thing, blah, 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 to get in now. Because I think if you don't get in now, I could see a couple of years of sort of reset where the two conferences operate at 16 each. And then a couple years down the line, after the newcomers have been integrated in, then, okay, we're going to pick up another two. And this is, like, I think it's probably going to leave the Pac-12 and the Big 12 to just sort of, like, form their own little, like, faux G5 conference and try to make of it what they will.
The Super Mountain West?
Yeah, like the Super Mountain West, whatever it is. But it just seems like these expansion things, short of some other force acting upon things, it feels like these are not things where we have massive realignment. Like, it's like you add two at a time.
This sucks for Utah. They win the Pac-12. Yeah. This is what happens.
Yep. See what happens when you win the Pac-12, Utah. End up with the Big 12.
You end up back in the Mountain West. Yeah. I don't want that middle ground. Just go to the end game.
That's what I'm saying.
Can everyone just break up all the contracts and just go to the end game?
So I always thought that they should do, if they were going to do mega conferences, they should do it in fours regionally. So you have a West, a Southwest, a Southeast, and sort of a Northeast kind of deal. If you told me you had to split it into two, I would do East and West. But now it's becoming very clear that what you're doing is just taking the U.S. and, like, splitting it down the middle, north and south, with a weird little wiggle down to California to sort of pull them up into the Big Ten. But, like, basically just, like, take the Big 12 footprint and the SEC and, like, half of the ACC, and then the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and half of the ACC. And then those are your two mega conferences. And make it 40 teams or 50 teams, 25 each. I don't know.
Here's a thought. A, this is, and I'm sure this is not an original thought. It's not hard to get to. All the TV deals, all the money is held up in the TV deals. The TV contracts, ESPN and Fox, are paying all these conferences for the most part. CBS too, right? What if the TV deals or the TV networks are like, hey, why don't we just pause and set this all and just figure this all out? So that way our contracts make sense.
More sense?
They make sense. But B, with all the NIL stuff and all of the frustrations that people have with that and all the changing landscapes of different laws that are coming out here. You know, there's another California bill that's going to change NIL things that I can't remember the details about off the top of my head. All of those things. Why cannot this be the moment that a centralized college football governing body forms? And that's where everything gets decided, where there's a big summit. Everyone meets in, I don't know, Yalta, and has a Yalta conference 2022 and puts together what this is supposed to be.
The easy answer there is that would require the Big Ten and the SEC to cede power to each other.
But they're helping each other.
I mean, I think they are.
It would allow them collectively to band together to put the other people out of business, which is what they always want to do.
Right, but the SEC wants to do that to everybody else. Like the SEC,
I don't necessarily think so.
I think the SEC wants to be the ones who run the show, and I think the Big Ten wants to be the ones who run the show, and right now they are.
But they
and
need to realize that they have to be buddies.
If like, they ceded to a central sort of government there, then I think they wouldn't. I can't see the SEC and Big Ten both going and saying we're going to hand over our power to like a central governing body when they don't have to, when they can still be in control of everything that they want to do separate from each other. And so also then
is the end game the Big Ten and the SEC, and there can be a Big Ten national champion and an SEC national champion?
No, I think they'll want to play each other, but I think they want their conferences to be governed separately.
You're saying that we're headed towards 1960s pro football, where there's going to be a Big Ten SEC championship game, and that's going to be the title game at the end.
Well, no, I think there'll be a national championship game, and the playoff will just have Big Ten and
but
SEC
it'll be
teams
de facto
competing it.
Big Ten versus
SEC. And you might get a Mountain West or some or whatever pack, Big Pack combo, super
Big 12 something.
Yeah. Combo conference and ACC.
And then can we just go
around
back to calling teams by the conferences by the correct numbers, maybe?
I mean, can we just stop doing numbers in general? Because clearly that doesn't work. Just
honestly, like this is the opportunity for the Big Ten
the
to
big
just
football
go by,
conference.
By big, by just yeah. B1G.
The big football conference.
Big, yeah.
Yes.
The big one conference.
The big one, yeah. Yeah.
The big one.
The big one. There you go.
Yeah.
That big one.
That big one.
Yeah.
That big boy. Yeah.
Yes, but this is, I mean, and this is where I keep coming back to. It's like, how long before Notre Dame and Clemson have to pick a side? Like, how long do they hold on? Because, like, clearly USC...
Also, all of this talk is why the independence thing never made any realistic sense
ever.
To me. Because everyone knew that the end game was super conferences.
Yeah, and so if USC had gone independent a few years ago, they just would have been independent until they could land in the Big Ten anyways. Like, so why, you know, skip that step, basically. It's just, it makes a lot more sense than going independent. Within the fold of the Big Ten, you're just going to make a lot more money. And you know, I was reading Mike Bone's statement about the whole thing, and it's like, yeah, it makes sense for the alumni network. And it makes sense from the financial perspective and sort of the philosophical perspective. Like we got to earlier, though, like the only people it doesn't make sense for are like the players and the fans in a lot of ways. But at the same time, like it makes sense for the fans if that extra money puts USC in better position to compete and win national titles, then the fans will be fine. You do run the risk, sort of like you said, of joining the big boys and then just sort of being.
Well, so I had a thought when
lower
I said
mid-tier.
That.
Upper, well, lower upper tier.
You join the big boys and then suddenly like if all you have are blue bloods in a conference.
Yeah.
Well, someone has to finish last, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like part of me is like, well, SC could go to the Big Ten and then they'll just be, you know, one of several, and maybe they'll just be mediocre. And then there's like another voice that joins and like, but Michael, have you seen the last 15 years? They've just been mediocre.
Yeah.
That's what they've been.
But yeah.
Actually, have you seen the last 40 years with the exception of 9 Pete Carroll years? They've just been mediocre.
So
they've been bad.
Well, and realistically, if you're talking about max ceilings for each team in the proposed, well, now official, I guess, 2024 Big Ten Conference, the 2024 membership of the Big Ten Conference, if you're telling me sort of max potential, right, as far as branding and all that kind of stuff, USC is at worst third, at worst behind Ohio State and Michigan, and
sure,
that's and being generous to Michigan over the last 20 years.
But like, I don't think there's any shame in saying that.
No,
you know,
but that's my
mean?
Point. Is like, it's sure. not. It's not yeah. like Texas and Oklahoma
they're
going to the SEC.
They're at the same where, table with Ohio State and Michigan, and those three are ahead of Penn State.
Yeah,
but with Penn State and Michigan State they are ahead of everybody else.
The Big Ten doesn't have the problem of Alabama and Georgia and LSU and Florida and blah, 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 blah. So the Big Ten still realistically is Ohio State and Michigan.
Which is why I think it's weird in that the end game, I think, almost has to sort of be three super conferences. Unless you are going to be ballsy enough to say, sorry, Purdue, it's over.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the like realignment things that if I in the Big Ten, like I don't know how you dissolve the conferences to the point where you can like because if you're telling me like the SEC, would the SEC ditch Vanderbilt to get Clemson in? Or ditch, Missouri to get Florida State in? Hell yes, they would.
You want my theory? I wouldn't be surprised if Stanford and Cal, and this reminds me of, was it Stuart Mandel that had this thought like years ago? Put a thing out there at the time. I thought it was insane, but now I can sort of see some logic to it. About how there could be two sort of like, you know how we have the FCS and FBS, that you could sort of have that in the future and have like two 30-team leagues and one of them be football focused and the other one be academics focused. And all the major powers could sort of split down the middle and be in one or the other. And at the time I thought like, that's preposterous. But now we get to this point, and it's like, I think it's very clear that I don't know what Stanford and Cal's future is. And I could absolutely see a world in which, so we know that there's a couple of academic unities. And it's not just for academics, but it's like-minded schools, right? There's the Ivy Leagues. There's the HBCUs. These are groups of schools that are like-minded for whatever reason that they want to be associated together with, right? And I think that there could be a world in which there's another band of schools like that, and it ends up being a lot of the privates. I probably shouldn't call them the privates. Sorry.
The private schools.
The private schools / academic schools. Where you could, so Cal, who just, they love to talk about, oh, the number one public school. But, you know, like they have like this fondness of wishing that they weren't a public school. Yeah. So maybe they can play out their fantasy of being a private school by being part of this conference that has Stanford, Northwestern, Vandy, you throw in Pitt, Tulane, et cetera, in there.
Yeah.
And maybe that ends up being a conference in of itself. And they kind of say, hey, we're going to go and do our own thing. Like the Ivies, like HBCUs, even though they didn't necessarily choose to do their own thing. That's a whole other side plot. You know what I mean?
In like, different era.
Yeah. And so...
I think there's something to what you're saying, though, because Brian Fisher just tweeted from a Pac-12 source. This is directly on the Pac-12 president's hands. They didn't prioritize football, and now they are going to constantly be dealing with the one thing that they are least equipped to handle. To me, that sounds a little bit like one of the things that Bone said in his statement about joining the Big Ten. Here we go again. The Big Ten is the sort of philosophical agreement between the two teams. So I think you're right. I think you might have schools that prioritize sort of academics or that prioritize Olympic sports, just getting together and sort of being the Olympic sports teams like Cal and Stanford.
But to me, it's less about those schools not prioritizing those football, and it's more about them not prioritizing them in the way that these other schools necessarily.
Yeah, but I mean, on equal levels. That's always been the problem with Pac-12.
And the flip side of, and the Big Ten or the super conferences, whoever they are, end up being not valuing them as a worthwhile participant for these things.
Yeah, well, and that's where, you know, you have to bring something to the table, right? Like USC brings football.
Stanford and Cal do have the the talking about media rights and TVs and all that stuff. They had the Bay Area, which is, you know, a huge top 10 you know, media.
They market, have a, right? They have an incredible track record with the Olympic sports. Like, they are dominant with the Olympic sports and all that. But I don't know that they bring anything to the table that is enticing to the Big Ten when it's clear the Big Ten is consolidating power for football and arguably
which
basketball.
Which is weird, too, because the Big Ten is... So the Big Ten is interesting in that, just like the Pac-12, they value academics over almost everything.
Well, certainly and, compared to the SEC.
Yes, but the Big Ten has staunch rules about AAU membership and whatnot. So when I say that the Arizonas could be allowed, I don't even know if that's... I'm not the expert on AAU membership and all that stuff. But I know that there's... The academics in Arizona are not the same as other schools.
Mm.
But you know what I mean? Like, the Big Ten wouldn't accept Missouri because they weren't academically viable for them as a solution. Like, that was one of the reasons they didn't go that route when Missouri left the Big 12. So, yes, they should absolutely, theoretically, value Stanford and Cal. But I think when you see the Big Ten's actions in prioritizing things like football schools, then again, you talked about prioritizing football schools and SC and UCLA. Then you mentioned that it was SC and UCLA's idea to do this. Well, then you look at the Big Ten's actions before, they added Maryland and Rutgers. So maybe I'm misguided here.
That was a
those
different...
aren't exactly football powerhouses, and those were aimed so that way they could get the Eastern Seaboard TV market.
It was also a sort of a different era when people were thinking smaller.
Well, back then, because, like, back everything then, was about TV markets.
Yeah, at TV markets, and you wouldn't have even thought that, like, you could get the big dog from another car. Like, how often has the biggest brand, the two biggest brands in a conference, how often have they changed in the last 50 years without the conference itself sort of being so part of the realignment?
The irony here is it was supposed to be when Miami joined the ACC. And then Miami joined the ACC. At the time,
it wasn't.
Miami was the top dog in college football. And then they joined the ACC in the mid-aughts. And sorry, I'm British. The mid-noughties. And like that was going to be like a big deal. And then the ACC was going to be run by Miami and Virginia Tech. They're leaving the Big East to go to the ACC and rule it. And then they got to the ACC and Clemson was like, no, this is our conference, actually.
Well, and that's that if you have a fear for USC and UCLA, it's that, except it's a different sort of universe for, like, Virginia and Miami to a point. Like, I think we're in a different universe with where USC is in terms of basketball. And also, the Big Ten is also
The best basketball
conference out there, arguably, and they just got better with adding the UCLA brand. So,
hey, this is huge for SC basketball.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, weird for SC baseball. So, I saw something that said that this was going to affect all sports, which is wild because all sports except for beach volleyball, which makes no sense too. Because
I don't know that a lot of programs have beach volleyball. That's the only thing.
I think there's got to be a caveat there.
Yeah,
it's got to be all sports that the Big Ten has, that SC and UCLA has, because as far as I know, the water polo conference is the MVPSF, SPF 50 or whatever it is, right? and that has like UC Irvine and Cal Poly and like, you know, little Santa Clara is in it. Yeah. I think, you know what I mean, like. They're smaller schools, and I want to say that in wrestling, the Boise State's in the Pac-12 for wrestling. So, like, in a lot of the smaller, which SC doesn't have wrestling, I know, but a lot of the smaller sports, the Olympic sports, things are just different. The landscapes are completely different.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like we talked about, ASU is in the Big Ten for hockey, which is wild. But,
hey, maybe USC goes gets fully USC has club hockey, but let's go make a USC
Well,
what do you call a sponsor, school sponsored or no,
a scholarship?
Scholarship, yeah. Team.
I don't know I don't know the Title IX laws exactly, but I remember that I want to say that something about one of the reasons they couldn't add men's soccer was because they'd have to add a women's sport first.
Yeah, you
crazy?
Have to.
I don't know all these things.
I don't know the exact details, but that is also.
But the last two sports that they've added have been women's lacrosse and beach volleyball. Sorry, sand volleyball.
But I think they might have a men's beach volleyball team as well.
Did they?
So that might cancel out.
Oh,
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know the logistics.
Yeah, but you are right. In order to add a men's sport, the number of female sports that you offer has to sort of match up. And so I don't know if the logistics
on
that.
I don't know the ratio or the...
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What the stipulation is.
Yeah, but in order to add, like, men's hockey, you'd need to...
Well, they could add women's hockey. Like, you know what I mean?
Let's
like
do it.
It doesn't matter.
Let's do it.
It could be whatever. It could add all sorts of...
Yeah.
Field hockey, I'm guessing the Big Ten might have.
Yeah,
hey, I imagine. Get into that.
Let's get into it. Yeah.
It's always weird that field hockey is only a women's sport, which makes no sense to me.
There's some weird, like, sporty things that don't make a lot of sense in terms of who plays
like,
what version.
Softball makes more logical sense than that it's, like, a counter to baseball.
You yes.
know what I mean?
Yeah, it's baseball.
But what is field hockey different. The counter to? It's not lacrosse because women's lacrosse exists,
yeah.
So what is it?
Maybe men's field hockey exists, but, like, we just aren't aware of it. The way that a lot of people aren't aware that, like, men's volleyball is as kick-ass as it is. Like, if you've never watched a men's volleyball game, like, you're missing out. That stuff is kick-ass.
I got a hot take.
Do not.
Volleyball in general just sucks.
I disagree.
It's not a good sport.
It's a fun sport.
It's a fun sport to play out in the yard with
no,
somebody.
No, it's a fun sport to watch. I like it. All right, either way, I have a question for you.
We got questions from Slack.
We did get some questions from Slack. I have a question for you first.
Okay. Oh, I have a question for you, too. I want to get... So, you ask your question, and then I'll ask you mine, and then we'll go to Slack.
Okay. So, my question is, you have 2 seasons to get Pac-12 road trips in. You get one for each season to check off your list. Which two are you doing?
Well, this is the sad part because the only schools I have not been to are Oregon State and Washington State.
Which is not on the... well, Corvallis is this year,
Corvallis
isn't it?
Is this year, which makes me want to do Corvallis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, you've done more of that. See, I haven't done...
Oregon. I haven't done Oregon.
Yeah, I haven't done Autzen.
So, Oregon State, Oregon, and Washington State are the three I haven't done.
I haven't done Autzen, Pullman, Corvallis... we did Colorado and Utah, ASU, Arizona, Cal, Stanford. Who am I missing? Oh, we did Washington. So, yeah.
Those are the three.
Yeah, those are the three. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even have to be ones that you didn't do again. Like, I would do Utah in a heartbeat again.
But
like,
Autzen's definitely on the list.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Does SC play Oregon next year? I don't remember. Either way, Autzen would be on that list.
Yeah.
My question for you, I know I don't have a perfect answer, but yeah, probably Corvallis and Autzen.
Yeah.
Pullman to get Cougar Gold, for sure.
Yeah.
My question for you is top 3 Big Ten trips. And you cannot have all 3, your answers cannot be Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. That cannot be your answer.
Okay, that's fine.
Because that's too obvious of an answer.
Ohio State, Michigan, and... Ohio State, Michigan, and... I was going to say Penn State, but people have horror stories about going to Penn State.
I have a fear about going to Penn State.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
What?
How the hell do you get there? It's in the middle of freaking nowhere. Where do you fly? Do you fly into to Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh is like 800 miles away from College Station. State College.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is like 900 miles away from State College.
There's got to be somewhere closer. But I was thinking like Iowa as well. Like I just think Iowa, Nebraska, one of those. But it's the horseshoe and good. The big house. Yeah. And
I would be scary because Iowa always beats people.
Well, that yeah, I mean that's I see like the annual tradition of Iowa beating one of USC and UCLA is going to be kind of a trip this you know coming going forward.
It's going to be the new it'll be the new Rice Eccles, which was the new Reser Stadium.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would say. Okay, how about this? Top three, not including Ohio State and Michigan.
You're cheating. Okay, fine.
That's not cheating. That's just making you not cheat.
Well, I'm not trying to cheat.
Those two are too obvious.
Okay, so, well, then I'll do Iowa. I will do Nebraska.
Okay.
And Wisconsin, yeah.
Okay. I would say Iowa. You know what, dude? You got it. I think you got it.
It's Wisconsin, Iowa, and Nebraska.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks about Nebraska is I think Omaha seems like a cooler town than Lincoln.
The argument I might have is like Northwestern because it's a excuse to sort of be in and around Chicago.
You ever been to that stadium?
No.
I went to that stadium once. I was on a work trip and I had an extra day and I was bored. So I took the purple line. And I walked to the stadium from the purple line. Ryan Stadium just looks like a stadium. like it just like looks like a thing from the outside. Like there's it's very it's old looking, but like you stand there and you think, there's no way there's been like big time Big Ten football here.
I'm not, and I wouldn't want to go to Northwestern to go to Northwestern. I just want an excuse to go to Chicago.
No, that's fair. But we're going to be in Chicago all the time now. Think about it.
Because of
transfers
at O'Hare?
we have to go to an Illinois game. Where do you go? You fly into Chicago. Yeah. You got to go to a Purdue game. Where do you go? You fly into Chicago.
There you go.
You got to go to Wisconsin? You could go to Milwaukee, but let's just fly into Chicago.
Just never again Midway. I don't know what people's opinion of Midway is, but we had a four-hour layover there and... That airport's got to get its shit together because that was
help that there was like construction or something that they were figuring out. Like nothing.
Literally every place that you could get any food or coffee or anything was closed or not serving food or had incredibly long lines because nowhere else was serving food. It was just, not great.
I like Midway in terms of I think it's. Got easier access to downtown in the loop. Just hopping on the orange.
Okay. But for a layover,
it sucks. And yes, I know you can hop on the blue.
Best to get to place to have an extended layover, I've still decided, is Austin. If you told me anywhere you have to have a 4-hour layover, give me a 4-hour layover in Austin.
We went to Orlando and we had a 30-minute layover.
Too short.
In Austin. And that was brutal because there's live music playing. We didn't get a chance to eat anything, and we could have gotten barbecue or something. Like, that would have been the place
Austin
to have
Airport.
Hour.
Austin Airport has so many good food options. Like, it's ridiculous.
I just wanted a Whataburger in there. Couldn't find one. Yeah. At least not by where we were. We didn't have time to browse. No. But, all right,
there's
Slack questions.
Than Whataburgers. Okay.
Pull them up.
Pulling up Slack questions. Okay, from Samuel. Should we expect more Pac-12 teams to follow USC to the Big Ten, assuming it doesn't fall through? And if so, who else would the Big Ten take?
If it was up to me, yes.
I think we both agree that there may be, I think there's certainly an opportunity for Oregon and Washington. And I think if the Big Ten wanted to just go for broke, they pick up the Arizonas potentially. And I was just thinking about it. It makes a lot more sense to go for the Arizonas when you factor in that they do bring some basketball value to the table. So next question from Dan. When USC travels to Minneapolis for a conference football game, will you eat the local hot dish and lutefisk? Do I know what lutefisk is?
I don't know, but I'm going to Minneapolis and I'm getting a Juicy Lucy. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Juicy Lucy's. Okay. Lutefisk is...
Is this like a Rocky Mountain oyster kind of thing?
Dried whitefish, normally cod. That's like salted and dried and pickled in lye. There's a big no for me. Big no for me. But yeah, Juicy Lucy's all day, every day.
So I have a theory about Juicy Lucy. Not a theory, but a,
this
a,
will
a
be the one good, the best thing from a fan perspective about joining the Big Ten is the first couple of years, first few years.
Just make it more likelihood, more of a likelihood we get Portillo's in LA. Like, not in
let's
that,
do
that,
it.
That we don't have to drive to Winter Park to?
Yes, to drive an hour away to get it. Yeah. No, the first couple of years of being in the Big Ten will be like having five or six like cool out of conference trips every year. Like, obviously we can't take
five or six.
Well,
there'll be so many teams you couldn't go to. You won't have
but like,
to go to every one every
But time. Like every year, if you wanted to go on a, like a road trip with USC, you'd be going to like a city that would be equivalent to doing a big out of conference road trip.
Yes.
So that's kind of cool.
100%.
And I would not have any good reason to go to Purdue other than like this or.
Well, you go to Chicago and just drive there for the day.
There you go. Again, Chicago. Yeah. Good. I have cousins who live in Columbus, Ohio. So. No, not Columbus. Yeah. Columbus, Ohio. No. Yeah. Dayton. Closer to Dayton. Yeah.
Dayton is not Columbus.
Closer to Dayton, but not in Dayton. Somewhere.
Ohio is
a big
state.
It is
a big state for.
But I do have family that lives there. We could go out there.
And I like to spell over there. Big into spelling. A big spelling state.
OH.
Yeah, but constantly spelling.
I can't do the OH anymore because now they're actual conference rivals theoretically.
More you know. Next question.
That was it.
Okay.
Hold on. I did get a I got a question on Twitter. Hold on.
All right.
Finding it. Let's see, where is it? I'm struggle buzzing.
Well, while you're looking, I'm going to give everybody my Juicy Lucy opinion.
Hold on. Would the Seattle or Bay Area TV market be big enough draws for Washington or Stanford to be considered? That's from Troy Woolbert.
I think if we're strictly talking TV markets, I think Bay Area makes more sense.
I'm not sure that either.
But I don't think that's going to be the one factor.
I don't think those pockets of teams, from a sports perspective, are enough of a draw for an immediate, short of the Big Ten going all in on expansion. And it doesn't sound like that's what they're doing here. So,
yeah. But again, the end game means that they have to.
So, like, let's fast forward 5 years, and then that's where we will end up. Yeah. Okay, Juicy Lucy take, and then I have to get back to work.
I researched Juicy Lucy's, and I'm like, this sounds like the greatest thing. If you don't know what a Juicy Lucy is, it's a stuffed cheeseburger.
Hold on. Did I ever tell you about the time I made a Juicy Lucy? Were you?
I think you might have made it because I was making them, and I was telling you about this.
No, I came in a home chef thing. Did I tell you? Were you with me at my grandmother's house?
You might have made
when
one.
I bit into a Juicy Lucy.
And it exploded in your face?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you see that or were you not there?
I think I might have been there.
Yeah, that was a trying experience. That be careful with your Juicy Lucy's, guys, because it literally exploded in my face and onto the wall. Like, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Lucy's juicy. It is one of those things where it sounds like a great idea, and I will be glad to eat it. And maybe at the actual Juicy Lucy place, they make it better than I could make it probably. But when you make it, it's just like you eat the thing. And my prevailing thought was, or I could have just had a double cheeseburger and not gone through the effort of putting this piece of cheese in between two patties and making one patty.
But it's not just a piece of cheese. Like, it's the kind of cheese. It's the sort of mixture of cheese that you put in. Like,
but it's
it's not.
You're supposed to use like a true cheddar.
But you're supposed to use the kind of like cheddar that like oozes.
Yes, but the place that I saw that it's like the original place or whatever like uses just Tillamook cheddar.
Oh, huh. Okay.
At least that's the video that I watched on YouTube.
You're making me want a freaking Juicy Lucy right now. Like,
or just get a double cheeseburger.
No, I want a Juicy Lucy.
Get a double cheeseburger and flip it upside down and then pretend.
Low key, I just want a burger now.
Yeah, me too. You guys want to DoorDash us, our email address. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, that's going to be the pod. The reaction to USC joining the Big Ten. What? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either. It's crazy. Sound in. But yeah, other news, you mentioned it earlier. Yeah, we're adding to the family. We now have a dog.
Yeah, her name is Jessie. She's a border collie. She is currently in the other room, and she's probably sulking about that.
It's the first time she's been in the other room without us.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a happy puppy, I don't know.
I suspect we will open the door, and she will be laying right in front of it.
Probably.
Yeah.
She's named Jessie. If you knew about our previous dog, our stuffed toy dog, Combo... Combo is named Combo because of the Breaking Bad character Combo, because it was Border Collie Combo, black and white, and Combo is the name of a drug dealer in Breaking Bad, one of my favorite characters in the show.
I love Combo.
And so we get this dog from the shelter, and a beautiful dog that should have never been in a shelter.
Yeah.
And looks
insane.
Super beautiful, but also looks just like Combo. And so we're like, well, it's one of Combo's friends. Who are Combo's friends in the show? Well, there's Skinny Pete. Skinny Pete wasn't gonna work.
She's a girl dog. If she was a boy dog, I would have fought for Skinny Pete.
And then we could have gone with Badger.
Yes.
But I think we'd have to say it with the Wisconsin accent. Badger.
Badger.
Badger. Go Badger.
Also, again, girl dog. Not quite girl dog name.
So we went with who was the henchman there? Good old Jesse Pinkman.
Jesse Pinkman.
Which leads us to the true name of the dog, which is Jesse Pink Lemons Castillo.
Yes.
Named after Jesse Pinkman and Jesse Plemons, one of our favorite actors.
Yes.
So Jesse Pink Lemons Castillo.
But spelled like Jesse from Toy Story.
Yeah.
Because she's a girl.
Because she's a girl, though. Yeah. He doesn't lift her leg to pee.
No, she does not. Absolutely does not. She's my first ever girl dog, so this is a new experience for me. Mm. It's nice. She doesn't.
I'd make the girl dog joke, but I'm not going to go there.
No. She doesn't stop on walks to pee everywhere, which is new for me. I've only ever had boy dogs. So. Mm. All right, let's wrap this up.
All right, see ya.
See ya.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.